Preview.
Episode 93, Coach. Good to see you.
Good to be in an upright position today.
That's right. That's right. One of the things we're going to talk about today are some of the Marlins draft picks, and you got some inside information on that.
Yes,
probably that nobody else has. Want to start it off there?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Really inside. First, I'd like to say hello to Charlie Green, the emeritus of the Miami Baseball Forum, which will be on our program September 1st at Duffy's, 185th and right off of North Kendall, along with Steve Hertz and me and a lot of other great people. First, I'd like to lead off with Khalil Watson. You know, many people thought he had the talent to be the number one choice in the draft.
Right.
And he was available for the Marlins at number 16, Tommy.
Yeah.
And people wondered, what's he doing around?
Well, right.
He has some issues with his conformity and character. Many times he was late for workouts
mm-hmm.
that featured him.
Right.
As a senior high school shortstop in North Carolina, he was late and had an attitude. And I'm pretty sure that had something to do with the Marlins' availability and the fact that they got him.
Right.
So the Marlins may have their hands full with him.
But don't you think that's something Donnie Baseball will be able to break that?
I don't know.
Break the Mustang out of him?
I don't know.
Or does the kid go to college at NC State and then, you know, we get another whack at him later on?
I don't know if they cure that in college. I don't know how deep it is.
Right.
We have a term in baseball that the guy's got a dog in him now. There was an infielder in college a couple years ago in South Florida that was drafted, a guy that didn't run out double play balls. He was drafted pretty high, and the club that signed him, I mentioned to one of their coordinators that he had some dog in him, and he said, we'll get it out of him. First day of spring training, he eyeballed him and said, I'm going to be on you. You're going to give us 100% all the time. You're going to play hard every day. Even when you don't feel like playing, you're going to come to play.
Right.
The guy's hitting 240 in the minors and dogging it.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to make it.
Right.
So, you know, character is tough to change.
But right. How does the scout that's seeing that kid, the scout for the Marlins that saw him, either not see that or say, this is something we can overlook because he's got all these other things and attributes that we really like?
He's a 5-tool guy.
Right.
That mesmerizes people in the game. And scouts figure, well, listen, nobody can criticize me if this kid doesn't make it. And I hope Khalil Watson makes it big.
Of course.
And I hope that he learns. But that's why he was around number 16.
Right. Because DJ, the head of amateur scouting for the Marlins, said his skill set reminded him of Jimmy Rollins.
What a compliment.
Yeah. So,
but
Jimmy Rollins didn't have that attitude problem. So,
Jimmy Rollins was a poster boy for baseball.
Right. Hardworking kid.
Now, at the other end of this scale is the number 31 pick, Joe Mack, the catcher from New York State. He has great tools. He's a terrific player with great leadership skills. He has a cannon for an arm. He can receive. He can lead pitchers. He swings the bat. He is definitely a tremendous prospect at number 31. And of course, Tommy, the Marlins needed a catcher.
Right. And this guy's a more offensive oriented guy than we've had in the past. I think at one point in time, he was batting 500, 25 RBIs, 26 stolen bases. So yeah. The kid's got, I mean, he's more power than he is position player.
Well, but he's a great defensive catcher.
So he's going to be good behind the
dish. And, of course, you're always concerned, is a catcher going to get nicked, banged up along the way? But it's like Charlie Green Jr., the field coordinator for the Milwaukee Brewers, told me. He said, everybody's looking for guys that can roll out of bed on Christmas Day and swing it.
Right.
Swing the bat, get hits, don't loosen up, mash.
Right. So one of the guys I wanted to talk about, it was our number three pick at 52 in the second round, Cody Morissette, also a shortstop, but college season.
I believe, Jordan McCants.
No, that's the number. That was the one I gave you, but we got to count the CBA pick in the first round. Jordan McCants is the third round. I'll do Cody Morissette.
I'll pick up Jordan McCants.
Perfect. So this kid, junior at Boston College preseason was favored to do something in the ACC. They played all their non-conference games very competitively and won some games. But then once they got into the heart of the ACC schedule, kind of floundered a little bit. But this kid was still a first-team All-American. Spent his summers going up to the Cape Cod League, which is a collegiate amateur baseball. As long as you've got at least 1 year of baseball, you can play. As long as you got 1 year under your belt and 1 year left to go of eligibility, you can play in these collegiate amateur leagues like Cape Cod. And there's one up in Orlando, and they're scattered across the country. But did pretty well up there. I'm not sure that he's not going to finish his senior year at Boston College. But if the money's right, which I think it's probably going to be come in at around $1.9 or $2 million signing bonus, that might prickle his ears a little bit. However, he comes from a pretty rich area. He went to Exeter. So, I mean, I think that's where President Bush 41 went to. You know, so I think I don't know that money's going to really be a factor.
Well, you know, the Marlins have in bonus pool money $9,800,000.
Right.
Some other clubs have $6 million. So Marlins are up at the top of the bonus pool money.
Right.
And you said he was a shortstop?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they can play anywhere.
Yeah.
Make a catcher out of them.
Or make a third baseman. Or
a center fielder.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah, I think he's going to be all right. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the kid's hardworking. His high school coaches said, hey, this kid is a special kind of player, special kind of person, comes from a good family. And, I expect good things from him when he gets
I think BC swept Miami up.
Yeah,
there,
they did. They did.
And
they
so did Pitt.
Yeah.
So the northern schools are coming around in the ACC.
What do you think about those guys that – have played a year of freshman baseball and then want to go do summer ball at one of these, like the Cape Cod League or one of those other leagues? Do the coaches, like University of Miami, would they encourage those kids to do a summer where they're playing ball and staying in shape and not only staying fit, but seeing baseballs in real time?
I think it's important, very important, except for pitchers.
Right.
With so many bullets thrown in their arm in the spring, I just think they should rest and work out and build up their legs. Now, a lot of coaches use recruiting. One of the UM pitchers is going to Okie State, and the Okie State coach is coaching in the Cape Cod League.
Mm-hmm.
So he's pitching for him and then transferring to Okie State. So there's connections that way.
Right. And I can't imagine it's bad to, be eating lobster and having, a nice beer sitting out there on the ocean.
No, they say Ron Polk, who works with one of the clubs, I think Wareham, he has lobster every night.
Yeah, yeah.
Lobster and a cigar for dessert.
That's pretty good.
I'll tell you, that's he's first class, Ron Polk.
Hard to beat.
He helped build the Southeastern Conference baseball programs.
Do you have anything on Jordan McCants? Or
yes, I do.
All right, there you
yes,
go.
Yes, I do.
This is our number third round pick, actual fourth pick, though, at 88.
Yes, yes. He's a plus runner. He can run. That means on a scale up to 80, he's probably a 70, which is a very hard, high grade. He's a shortstop out of Pensacola Catholic High School. Good high school program. He's an athletic shortstop, Tommy. He's better on the run than standing still, meaning he makes better plays to his left and to the right in the hole than he does charging the ball. Balls hit at him. That's his strength. His strength is moving side to side for the ball. Up at the plate, he needs to work real hard on his bat. He's just an average bat, average arm. They think if he lifts some weights and does a lot of long toss throwing, he'll improve his arm strength. But again, he's a shortstop. And, you know, shortstops are great athletes.
And they can go a lot of different places. Absolutely. Plus, he's a lefty, which I like to.
It's left-handed bat. Yes, sir. It's left-handed. And I believe the fifth round pick, Brady Allen, out of the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Yep.
I think he hits left too, doesn't he?
I believe so.
Okay. Let me tell you about Brady
Allen.
Oh,
no. Bat's right, throws left.
Bat's right, throws left. Tommy's the man.
I got all the info right here.
Tommy's got all the details. That comes from eating yogurt with grape nuts and
granola.
Blueberries, not granola, and mixing it up in the morning to get the energy.
That's funny that I actually did have yogurt and granola today, not grape nuts. So
okay.
I'm going to have to
use grape
it
nuts. After my prostate surgery, that brought me back. That brought the red dog back. I'm sure all the ladies would be glad to hear that. Thank you very much. Okay, let's get to Brady Allen. Very athletic outfielder. Plays center, plays right. He has a lot of power and runs above average. The ball jumps off his bat. So he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, yeah. And the one guy that we picked right before him was the kid Tanner Allen. That was the SEC.
A couple years ago.
SEC, no, the kid that from Mississippi State that played on the national championship team this year as a senior.
Right.
Southeast Conference Player of the Year. Awesome, awesome, awesome outfielder. Big hitter and can run like a deer and cover a lot of ground out there. So I think that's probably, to be honest, I know we feel like we get a discount with Khalil Watson at number 16. And then maybe the kid, Cody Morissette, was a good deal at 59. But I think this kid's going to turn out to be something special.
I had a cross-checker tell me that the Marlins had a very solid draft.
Yep.
That was his terms.
Yep.
And with the $9 million, $800,000 in bonus pool money, they should get busy and sign a lot of these players.
ASAP. And I think...
What is a cross-checker?
Yeah, define a cross-checker. Yeah. We got a peanut gallery over here we got to deal with occasionally.
Hey, you're the man. a cross-checker is a scout, for instance, that covers an area like the East and Seaboard all the way down. And he checks on the reports of scouts in his organization. He's the final judge of whether and how interested they are in the final report on individual players.
Does that guy sit in the war room with the GM and
sometimes
guys?
And some, of course, they're on the phone and all the social media things, but he knows everybody. For instance, he might not know kids in Wisconsin, but he might know them, you know, from Illinois East all the way down, or far west. There's cross checkers that each club has, and they, you know, they have to check out.
Right.
They're the final guys.
Were those guys scouts before?
Oh, yeah.
They kind of graduated
up
the ladder?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And many of them have followed farm directors from two, three, or four organizations. As they've moved from A to B and Club C, they've gone with them.
All right.
And gone up the ladder.
Makes total sense.
And there's a lot of good ones.
Yep.
There's a lot of real good scouts.
ESPN, Baseball America both said that the Marlins got an A, great A on their draft.
Agreed.
Year,
so. And kudos to Kim Ainge and her staff. And I've always believed in the Jeter plan,
yep,
and what they're doing. I'm not crazy about their TV announcers, who I refer to as the two so-and-sos. I won't repeat it on the air. It's been on my messages on Wednesday.
Right, right.
For the Miami Baseball Forum. But
you want to plug that one more time? Who's going to be the guest speaker?
And September 1st.
Where is it?
Duffy's.
Okay. 80. Now, you got to clarify which Duffy's, because there are a couple Duffy's.
Yes, and they're all good, but this one's the best. This one's on 85th and 124th, back next to the LA Fitness, which I don't use. I jog in the pool.
Right.
You know, that's what I do. I don't pump iron. I don't want to get too stiff, you know.
Right.
Go
Plus,
back.
You can't lift weights when you're holding a cigar. So.
That's right. And go back to sleep, people. Anyway, the we're going to have a panel on the first Wednesday of every month, September 1st. We'll have a panel with Coaches Green, Hertz, and me. And then the first Wednesday in October, we will have the first high school superstar that Miami ever had in the mid-50s, Jack Langer, who, ex-boss of Dade Gas, who the Brooklyn Dodgers signed. And he's going to talk about his career at Dodgertown, 5 years of pro ball, and what it was like training in Dodgertown and playing in the Brooklyn organization. And, of course, I was born in Brooklyn, saw Jackie Robinson play, went to Ebbets Field, had a tryout with the Brooklyn Dodgers, didn't make it, but Jack was a great player, first high school superstar. In November, we hope to have a major league hitting coach with us. I don't want to name him because it's not firm. December, Gino DeMauri, head coach of the Hurricanes, will be with us. We are somewhat booked in September of 2022 with Ron Polk, who will be doing Southeastern Conference Color TV this year. We've got, hopefully, the first base coach of the Philadelphia Phillies, Paco Figueroa, coming. Bucky Dent's coming back again. I hope Andre Dawson will come back again. I mean, a plethora, fancy word,
right,
of guys.
Right. And here's something really cool is I'm going to go down there on all those panels and
yes,
film it live. So people will have access that can't make it to the event, that are interested in baseball, that want to hear some of the insights from those guys. And I'm going to go down there and we're going to broadcast it live to Facebook, YouTube, Twitter.
It's at noon to two. That's a great innovation, Tommy. And if you're home, don't eat too much because you're going to laugh so much that you might regurgitate.
That's exactly
so,
right.
So it's a hoot. It really is at noon. And with COVID, we're cranking up again September 1.
That's right.
Tommy.
So one of the things that we were discussing before the show started was a very interesting topic, and I think people are going to want to hear about it, is about the decline of the number of African American baseball players, and the reasons why. What is why is that? And I know you got a lot of insight on that.
Sir.
So go ahead, coach, enlighten our viewers about what's going on with black players in baseball.
Okay, we all know that African Americans are super athletes. Whether it's Simone Biles in gymnastics, LeBron in hoops, whether it's football players aplenty, whether it's the quarterback for the Seattle club.
Yeah, or Kansas City.
Great athletes. In 1986, Tommy, 19% of major league players were of African American blood. Opening day this year, 2021, it was down to 7.6%.
Wow, less than half.
Unbelievable drop. You know, you saw Cedric Mullins, Orioles, he was in the All-Star game. We know what Mookie Betts can do, and on. A tremendous drop. Why such a drop? Several reasons. And then I'm going to get into a local situation which will also highlight why the drop in African-American players. First of all, there's a lack of college scholarships in baseball. Football, Tommy, has 85 scholarships a year in college. Basketball, 13. Baseball has 11.7. Chopped up. Now, no matter what they give you as a portion of the 11.7, a kid's family has to pay. UM is $60,000, I think, tuition. I mean, if he gets 30, they have to pay 30. I mean, private institution and all the others, even public, it's tough.
So do you think some high school coaches are encouraging multi-sport athletes to take to go to football or basketball because they got a better chance?
Yes. I'm going to talk about Ricky Henderson.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk about the Booker T. Washington football program with their coach, Ice Harris, shortly.
All right.
Okay. Baseball scholarships are not full. Players have to come up with cash. And African-American players, you know, their backgrounds, and they come from single-parent homes and fathers that have left the homes and mothers that are struggling. So some schools just cover a small portion of the 11.7. Also, baseball is now a country club sport, to quote Jim Pizzolatto, the East Coast scout for Scott Boras, the top baseball agent. It costs money for travel ball, for travel showcases, for equipment. Everything's expensive. The kids don't have it.
Yeah, because you have to have a different uniform for every one of those travel clubs that you're on.
Well, and you have to stay in hotels.
Right.
Yeah, it costs gas or plane tickets. It's tough. Bats are $200-$300.
Right.
Gloves are a couple $100. I mean, come on, they're playing in the Dominican with pieces of cardboard with a string around them, you know? And there's also a lack of youth coaches and programs in the inner cities. And football coaches are selfish. They don't want their good athletes to miss spring football. They can run track on the side, which will help their speed in football. That's fine.
And the wind gets and gives them better wind, better endurance.
Absolutely. And also, they can skip a practice to run in the meet, and they don't have to regularly practice with the track coach. They don't want to give them up for spring football. Now, I want to give you a case in point. there's a man named Justo Jay, who's the father of John Jay, a 10-year veteran in the big leagues.
Played for the Cubbies while I was over there.
Played for the Cubbies, has a World Series ring with the Cardinals. Great young man, John Jay. Because his dad, Justo's a great man. Justo's a minister. He's a counselor at the Salvation Army. He's got the Lord in his heart. And several years ago, he went out to Booker T. Washington in Overtown and went out to their ballpark. They have a AstroTurf, very nice park near the overpass. And he started to work with some kids that go to Booker T. Washington because their baseball program was the dregs. They were struggling to have a schedule to put 15 kids in uniform. So he went out there.